Hello and welcome to Jimmy's Three Things. Today we will be talking about the Home Run Derby. I've created a new system. It's awesome. Maybe. And then there's another thing called Scatterplot Outliers. And then there's a third thing called All-Star Game Fun Facts. Jimmy's Three Things is a production of Dan Patrick Productions, John Boy Media, and Workhouse Media. Put the cowboy hat on and take it off. And we're off. The first thing. Okay, Home Run Derby. We were there. The ending was cool. The rest of it wasn't that great. I've heard that people that watched it on the broadcast also said it was rather lackluster. The in-stadium experience was pretty dull for a long time. And there's a couple factors that I don't know if these are the factors. But this is my third derby I've been to. And the previous format with no ball limit was amazing for the in-stadium experience. But I understand the broadcast was really hard because you couldn't track the balls. They couldn't track two home runs at the same time, and two balls would be in the air at once. So for the broadcast, it was tough. That's why they wanted to slow it down. For the in-stadium experience, when we were in Denver and then when we were in LA, it was unbelievable. It was genuinely, I felt like how some grown adults feel at WWE or how little kids feel at Disney World. Those 2 years, because it was just like, oh, that one. Only having one lefty kept an entire half of the stadium dormant and quiet. So, again, that's for the in-stadium experience. I think you need a bigger balance. I don't know if anyone cares about that on TV. And certain stadiums with their money prize involved, you're not going to be able to do that as well, because if it's Fenway, you're going to want to have a righty pop them over the monster. So you can't really do that. So those are some of the things. And then the star power. I don't think we had any balls hit over 475 feet. You need guys hitting moonshots. You need guys guffawed. You know, remember all the reactions to Judge hitting them in 2017 or Alonso in 2018 or Shohei? Shohei went into third deck. Another situation is I think that ballpark just kind of shrinks homers, because in right field, there's no second deck. It's way too high when you have, because that first row of seats in right field is like 50 seats deep. When you have those facades, like the Yankee Stadium second deck or Philly or Astros, you know, that ball lands in that second or third deck before it starts to come down. When they start to come down, your imagination of how far it would have gone gets ruined. So I figured out a system. I thought about how they do hard knocks. How they do hard knocks. There's like criteria for who gets chosen. And this is baked into a contract with the league and the teams that they all sign. And no appearance in the past 10 seasons of hard knocks. So if you haven't been on it in the last 10 years, you're eligible to be chosen. A coach can't be in their first year. So if you have a first year coach, not eligible to be chosen for hard knocks. And no playoff appearance in the previous two seasons. So two stinkers in a row. You can't say no. If you have those, you can say no, which does wheedle it down a little bit. So my suggestion, which is never going to happen because the negotiations would be awful. But in the next CBA, this is what I think would help the event get star power there. If I'm MLB and MLB's Players Association, here's my criteria that I wrote down. I actually didn't write it down anywhere, so I'll just say it. Okay, you take, if you finished in the top 10 for home runs the year before, you're eligible to be chosen. If you are in the top 10 in Major League Baseball for home runs the current year, in the first half, you're eligible to be chosen. I think that's going to weed you down to about 15 guys. Then you have the caveats. If you've done it in the last 2 years, 3 years, whatever that would be, you can say, nope, not I. I already did it 2 years ago. I already did it last year. I don't want to do it this year. Maybe like if you had an IL stint in the month of May, June, or July, you don't have to do it. Maybe if your wife's sick, you don't have to do it. That's where I tried to ask Trevor Plouffe and other people, like, what are more caveats for people to say no? Because I want the players to agree to it. And then if you do get chosen, you should get a bonus or you should get a donation to your charity. So Okay. So that's the one thing. The other thing that needs to happen in general for the Derby, I think, and if you were to do this, it has to be less rounds and less swings. These guys, that's the most swings they've done in a 2 to 3 hour period ever. And their bodies, it's a little risky for the obliques, for the shoulders. Judge got hurt in 2017. So you got to shrink the field to six guys, top three advance. Those three go, winner wins. Two rounds. Make it a 2 hour, 2.5 hour event. It's too long. It like really dulls and loses its luster. So I put this into practice. I went and I got last year's top 10 home run winners, top 10 in homers. Matt Olson, Kyle Schwarber, Pete Alonso, Shohei Ohtani, Ronald Acuna Jr., Marcel Ozuna, Mookie Betts, Adolis Garcia, Luis Robert, Aaron Judge, Austin Riley. A lot of those names we've seen do the Derby, which is cool. Did Luis Robert do it? He did, right? So I can change his name to Red. All right, so then this year, first half of the season, Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani, Marcelo Zuna, repeat names. Gunnar Henderson, Anthony Santander, Rafael Devers, Josh Naylor, Christian Walker. So I went and I found out which guys have done it in the last 2 years. They did it last year. So last year, Adolis Garcia, he's out. Unless you make a clause that hometown kid needs to be in it. If you're hosting and you're leading your team in homers, you're in the fucking Derby. We need you. Grow the game. Be exciting. Because when Adolis Garcia got announced and the stadium went crazy, all of a sudden it was like, oh shit, I want to root for him because that's a much better atmosphere. So you do need a hometown kid. But he did it last year, so he could say no. Mookie Betts did it last year, so he can say no. Pete Alonso did it last year, so he could say no. He's not going to say no. J-Ram did it in 2022, so he could say no. Juan Soto did it in 2022, so he could say no. Luis Robert did it in 2022, so he can say no. Ronald Acuna Jr., Kyle Schwarber could say no. And if you want to watch on YouTube, I have these names on screen, which would be easier to keep track of. So I chose six guys. Guess what, Shohei? You're in the Derby. Congrats. We got some money for your charity. Ipe can watch it and have fun. You can bet on it if he wants. Prison bets. Salt packets and stuff. Aaron Judge, you're in the Derby. Wow, we just 3X'd the viewership. All of Japan is now watching. We're growing the game. So they're in it. They can't say no. This is agreed upon. CBA did it. Complain to them. Fake an injury. Do what you got to do. You're in it. I chose Pete Alonso because he's not going to say no. Come on, it's Pete. So you got those three guys. And then I also chose Gunnar Henderson. Young, fun, promote the game. You're in it. I chose Josh Naylor because I think he hits long, high homers and he's like a spitfire of a human. Like that would be really fun to watch. That's five. If you want the hometown kid, Adolis Garcia, say if it wasn't in Texas, you know, the other options here that can't say no, Rafael Devers can't say no, Santander can't say no, Bryce Harper, sorry, Shelfie said Bryce Harper off screen. He didn't lead. He's not in the top 10. So, like, obviously he's a big star, so there could be caveats, but this would guarantee you studs that are performing well and some stars. Because the top home runs are all stars here. So, Matt Olson can't say no. Shohei can't say no. Judge can't say no. You've already got a better field than this year. You've already got more pop, more star power, longer home runs. Alonso can say no. He's not going to. Marcelo Zuna can't say no. But everyone else can. Austin Riley can't say no. Gunnar Henderson can't say no. Santander. Devers, Naylor, Walker. That's what I'd propose. It doesn't need to be that. You know, we can change the criteria. You know, this year's top 15, if you think you need more options, you know, you can allow guys to submit themselves. And then the league thinks, yeah, he's a star. He's better. Let's get him. If Bryce Harper wants to do it, they're not going to say no to him. But this kind of guarantees it. And it all starts with like, they agree to this at the CBA and the players who are having great seasons know this is on the table. And they can't say no. And you're just guaranteed to get guys who will hit long balls and star power in there. And then they're shorter rounds because that's better for like consumption, energy of the stadium, which then builds the whole atmosphere. Shout out to Greg Amsinger. He was going crazy the whole night. Someone pointed that out to me. He was like, man, he's still got a lot of energy. I was like, he's been doing this the whole night? That's nuts. Because how many times do you say, come on, guys, let's hear it? Because the stadium was just falling asleep, man. Come on, guys, let's hear it. Pick them up. We need you to pick them up, Texas. That was maybe every 10 minutes on the in-house PA. So that's my system. Let me know what you think. And let me know, like, what other caveats should be there. If your team's in first place, they get to say no. That kind of stinks because, you know, you want that. The other thing would be some stadiums, it's really not fair, especially take away the cash prize. You know, you pay $1 million to the winner right now. Just divide that between the six of them or whatever, like, you know, 250 grand. That's not a lot to them. Maybe it goes to their charity and then they get to pay it off and enjoy, you know, doing good deeds. 250,000 times six. We're at 1.5. All right. So it's 1 million to the winner right now. Instead, it's 1.5 divided amongst the six contestants to their charities or to them, whatever they want. So it's not for nothing. And when you take out the cash prize, now you can loosen some of the rules and standards and say, we want three lefties, we want three righties. We want the whole stadium buzzing, and we're going to rotate them so the whole right field section isn't just asleep. Because we were sleepy out there. If it wasn't for Gray, come on now, get up. Come on, we need your help. He needs your help. Well, we need help. Shit's boring. So that's how I fix it. That's my suggestion to fix the Derby, is make a system like the Hard Knock system. Put it in the CBA. The players agree to it. They're going to ask for some more carve-outs. They're going to say, if you've ever done it before, you don't have to do it again. And maybe we're fine with that. But maybe you want Shohei and Aaron Judge in it. Okay? Because I think the $1 million prize, I don't know if they wanted to incentivize the big stars because now it's money. But I actually think what they did was anyone that's got a $300 million contract, $200 million contract, isn't going to go enter the sweepstakes to steal money from the dude making 500 grand. I think the big dudes are actually like, nah, man, like, I don't want to take that away from Gunnar Henderson, who can double his salary in one night. Let's let them, and I want to let them shine. I want to let them grow, which is great. You need to grow new personalities and new players like Gunnar Henderson. But imagine if Shohei was up right before Gunnar Henderson. Now who's got 2 million new Japanese followers? Gunnar Henderson. That's how you grow the game. And you put Judge up, and then following him is whoever else did it last night. Bobby Witt. Right? So there you go. That's the first thing. We've discussed it. It's over with. We're going to move on to the next thing, which is Scatterplot Outliers, which I deleted all my leaderboards here. And I was hoping I was going to run into more fun shit. So what I did was, and if you're on YouTube, you can see it, custom leaderboard Statcast. I was interested in some stuff, and I'll show you real quick. So I was just making a bunch of scatter plots. Most of them off bat speed or age. I'll show you. Like, okay, we're going to do a scatter plot, and on the x-axis, we're going to do age. All right? And then on the y-axis, and I don't know if I'm using y and x correctly here, I'm going to be honest with you, but on the bottom one, the horizontal, is that y? So maybe I had said that right? I don't think so. I don't know. Wait, which one's across for the people listening? X is the, well, people listening can't even see it, so they don't care. All right, x-axis is age. And then I went to all the slash lines and just wanted to see, like, is there any through line here? And guess what? With age comes a worse batting average over time, slightly. It's like 250 at 20 years old, and then it goes down to like 230 for the first half of the season. And I was like, all right, so your average declines as you get older. We all know that. How about slugging? That declines as well as you get older so far in the first half of the year. So OPS, that declines. But check this out. On base percentage, stays pretty fucking neutral the whole entire way. Old guys can see well. So that's just an example. And then I was finding outliers. So I liked doing bat speed because that's the new stat that we're tracking that people don't know about. So I wanted to do bat speed versus K percentage, which is the sharpest. I wanted to just find one that was like the sharpest trend. And I think everyone, this makes sense. The faster you swing the bat, the more likely you are to K because you're in less control, right? So some outliers here. This bubble's an outlier. Kevin Biggio, he swings the bat pretty slowly, 66 mile per hour on average. And he K's a lot. And then this one's probably the best, 76 mile per hour bat speed, but only K's at a 16% clip, Yordan Alvarez. So those are kind of the outliers of this, in a way. And then walk percentage for bat speed. Also, the faster you swing, the better you are at taking a base. I thought that was somewhat interesting. And then I kind of thought about it more. I was like, well, I thought if you were swinging wildly, real fast all the time, you're probably walking less because you sound out of control to me, you know? But I think they have that yes, yes, yes swing, and they no, no, no it a lot and don't swing. So actually, the chart trends up. You swing faster, you're going to walk more. Unless you are Luis Rice. And that's when I was like, oh yeah, contact hitters swing slow and they know they can get bat to ball. So they put the ball in play more so they don't get, so they swing more. They're not waiting for the perfect pitch like guys who are looking to slug and pop. So that made a little more sense when I put it into perspective. But then you got Giancarlo Stanton, who doesn't walk a lot and has the most bat speed. He's a big outlier in that one. Sprint speed was the same realization for me right here. Okay, so now I'm going to change the x-axis to sprint speed, all right? And if you're fast, get on base so you can get on, get over, right? That's what you would think. You would think that the speedy guys walk more. But guess what? They walk less. Because if you've got speed, like Ellie De La Cruz, just put that baby in play. Put the pressure on them. So I kind of, I was wrong on my general assumption there. Some outliers would be Yasmani Grandal and Martin Maldonado. They are very, very slow, and they don't walk at all. Bad combo. Bad combo. The best at this, Ellie De La Cruz. He walks a good amount, and he's very fast. Bobby Witt Jr., he walks less than average, but he's very fast. Who's this up here? Juan Soto, obviously. Highest walk percentage in the league. Medium speed. All right, so sprint speed and K percentage. Reverse, which is obvious. So the faster you are, the more you're going to K. That kind of grinds my gears. But nature of the beast, I guess. There's a couple scatter plots I noted when I was prepping for this, and then I forget about them. I screenshotted some. Let's see what this one is. This is bat speed and whiffs. Oh, yeah, this was an egregious one. So the faster you swing, the more you whiff. Makes sense. Less control. And this was swing length and fast swing. All right, so let me find that because there was a big outlier there. Swing length. Got a long swing. And what did I say? Swing length and fast swing percentage. Now I got to figure out what that is first before I keep going. Swing length and fast swing percentage. So how many times do you let it rip? Basically, is that what fast swing percentage would be? Like, how many times are you getting after it, giving it your A swing? So there was a big outlier. Who is it? Giancarlo Stanton is really funny because he's got a long swing, 8.4 units of measurement that they use. I don't know what it is. Seconds? Is it seconds? I don't know. And he does his fast swing 98% of the time. One swing king. Should be his nickname. Now, J.D. Martinez has a really long swing. That's why he's breaking catcher's wrists. Remember that? That was crazy. but he doesn't use a fast swing a lot at all. That's odd. Because he's like a power homer guy. We thought he was different. Let me see if there's any others I think are cool. Because I really wanted to look at zone swing and out of zone swing. Because I'm going to guess if you... I'm going to just guess this based on everything I learned from previous things. If your bat speed is slow, that means you have more control. Luis Arraez, Whit Merrifield is slow, and there's another one, Kwan. Then I would think that you swing out of the zone more because you feel like you can get to it, but no, very slightly. So if slower bat speed guys like Arraez, who's got a 63-mile-per-hour swing on average, which is the slowest in the league, he swings out of the zone 35% of the time, so that is kind of higher. He's an outlier. Ernie Clement, who's a Stanton, obviously swings. O'Neill Cruz. Javi Baez, that adds up, huh? He's got a fast swing, and he's always swinging out of the zone. Who are these guys that never swing out of the zone? Kwan. That's funny. Luis Arraez and Kwan are different, but they both don't. They both have slow swings. Arraez expands the zone way more. Kwan does not expand the zone at all. Actually, what was interesting was Stephen Kwan bat speed is slow, but when I did bat speed compared to slugging, Kwan was a pretty big outlier on this graph. So Kwan swings the bat at 65 miles per hour. It's like fourth slowest in the league. His other batters that swing the bat that slow, you have Luis Guillorme, who has a slugging percentage of like 310. You have Nicky Lopez, who has a slugging percentage that starts with a 2. And you have Whit Merrifield, who had a slugging percentage that started with a 2. Those three all had the bat speed of 64 to 65 miles per hour. Stephen Kwan is the fourth member of that bat speed, and his slugging is like 520. So that's a huge outlier that he's swinging that slow, but he's able to generate slug. And some of those guys are fast too, or they were. Nicky Lopez is fast, right? Big outlier. This guy, Javi Baez, again pops up. He's always an outlier. He swings relatively fast. No slugging at all. A lot of these charts were like, hey, Javi, maybe change up your entire game. Go slower. This was tough. Joe's McFly was looking at this with me, and he was like, who's that guy? And he pointed at the dot. That's pretty slow swing speed and really bad slugging. And I said, yeah, let's see who that is. And then it was DJ LeMahieu, and we were like, oh, matches the eye test, though. So that stunk. All right, I got 3 minutes left for my third thing, which are All-Star Game fun facts. 1, 2, 3. Wow. Shelfie, who's right next to me, Phillies fan. Cherry Pinstripes, go listen. The Phillies have the most All-Stars with 7, the most in their franchise history. 8 now? Who got added? Ooh, Christopher Sanchez got added to make it 8. Luis Arraez and Juan Soto are All-Stars for the third straight season with a third different team. That's a fun fact. Arraez goes Minnesota, Miami, San Diego. Soto goes Washington, San Diego, New York. Wow. Is there a guy that's done 4-for-4 stat department? I don't know how to search that. Paul Skeens is the first player to be an All-Star the year after being drafted in the June amateur draft. Really? I would have thought Strasburg did that. Right? He was quick. Strasburg was drafted first of the 2009 MLB June amateur draft. He made his debut in 2010. Punk. You'll never be skiing, Strass. Blew it. What about Nolan Shanuel? If he made the All-Star team, he could have done that. No, it was last year. Holy shit, that's cool. I can't think of anyone. What about that kid who pitched when he was 18 for Indiana? Feller? No, it was another guy. 2024 is the second straight season with at least four rookie All-Stars. Oh, that's cool. The only other time it's happened in consecutive seasons in MLB history was 2011 and 2012. That was like the Harper, Machado, Will Myers, Trout era, right? Who's the other guy? I feel like there was another one in that group that I'm forgetting. Judickson Profar became just the 18th player in the AL/NL history to play at least 11 seasons before starting their first All-Star game. Profar's been around for 11 seasons? Obviously he has, because we've been hearing about him for so long, but that's kind of crazy and awesome. 18th player in AL/NL, which is just MLB history, to play at least 11 seasons before starting their first All-Star game. Who was the most recent? If I Google that sentence, because I'm sure like Dalt gets these from an article somewhere. It's an article by Brian Murphy at @spokes_Murphy. Thanks, Bri. 9 players whose first All-Star game start was worth the lengthy wait. We're going to rip through this and then we're out of here. 1933, Babe Ruth, 20 seasons. I think they didn't have All-Star games. I just think they didn't have them. 1933, Jimmy Dykes. Again, I think if I Google first All-Star game, they're going to come up with 1933, which makes that list starting first MLB All-Star game. This says 1933. Brian! I don't like that you included them in the article. It was impossible for them to be All-Stars. It didn't exist. So Frankie Frisch, also don't care about you. Travis Jackson. Okay, maybe I should read the article. I think in the paragraph above, he's going to disclose this, and I skipped it. 8 of the previous 16 players were headliners of the 1920s who obviously didn't have an early opportunity to play in the AL/NL All-Star game. Why aren't we calling it the Major League Baseball All-Star game? Why do we have to say the AL/NL All-Star game? That makes no sense to me. Which was established in 1933. Okay, so I'm sorry, Brian. That's my fault. It's a user error. I didn't read the paragraph. That leaves 9 others who debuted after 1933 and spent at least 11 seasons in the major before being honored as an All-Star game. Who are they? Glad you asked. Let's do it. My dude, Raul Ibanez. We met Raul. He's awesome. He texted me once after a breakdown and said he thought it was really well done. And he was like so nice. And I hope we get to do some stuff together. So congrats to Raul. Walt Weiss, one of the better dugout goatees. Jurickson Profar, Dave Henderson, Frank Howard, Joe Adcock, Eddie Juiced. How do you say it? Juiced? Phil Cavaretti. And that's all. All right, that was it. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you. Subscribe to the channel. Go Yanks. Psych! Go baseball. It's not talking Yanks. Wrong outro. Bye.